If you're happy to be in the house of the Lord, how about a great big amen to let God and others know, yes, around, that you're glad to be in His presence. It's just a wonderful day. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And also Isaiah 40, if you want to go there too. 2 Corinthians 12, Isaiah 40. Those two places. But, you know, no matter how much you wish that it wasn't, it's still a fact that real growth in the Christian's life doesn't come easy. It's a struggle. It's a painful one. A lot of times we'll look at how to see how God's grace will get us to the other side this morning is what I want to look at. And the benefits that are waiting there for us when we do. Because it's not easy all the time. Matter of fact, it's just hard. It's just hard. And we'll look at today in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 about what that means. This morning I'd like to talk to you about grace among thorns. Grace among thorns. Because I want you, I want me and us, and individually as a family, a prayer of faith, to get a new experience on this divine infusion that comes down and gives us power due to what grace has to offer us in our lives. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll just go ahead and read the passage this morning, beginning with verse 7. It says, "And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me and to keep me from exalting myself. And concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, and the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Amen. Verse 7 in our text today, Paul's dealing with a thorn in his flesh. And the Greek word for thorn refers to a splinter or a needle, something that is pricking you, something that is just irritating you. You ever got a sticker or a sandburr in your sock or in your shirt or wherever, and you have felt that irritation? It's just not good. If you've ever got a splinter in your finger or foot, that's not good, especially when the splinter is deep and you just got to dig that thing out sometimes. But if you don't, it's just every time it touches on that point, it's just the irritation. It's pricking you. Now, Paul doesn't tell us really what his thorn is in our passage today, although there have been a number of possibilities. For example, the Bible tells us that Paul has an eye problem, so it could have been an eye illness of some sort. You just don't know. We're told that also in our passage that it says that there were messengers of Satan, that there were people who irritated Paul, people who would constantly travel behind Paul and undermining him, and he just couldn't seem to get rid of them. They just kept hanging around him and following him. And so whether it's a person, whether it's a place or a thing, it was an irritation that Paul was encountering. It was a splinter, it was a thorn, and whatever it was just driving him crazy. I wonder if there's anybody here today maybe that has a thorn in your flesh. Maybe you're living with a thorn in your flesh. I don't know. But it's an irritating situation that just won't leave you alone. It's driving you crazy. Maybe it's an emotional thing. It just drives you nuts. Maybe it's financial debt. It just doesn't seem to go away. That bill just keeps on coming and coming and coming, even though you pay on it month after month. Or maybe it's a physical thing that's driving you crazy. Or maybe there's someone on your job who you work with who just doesn't seem to get fired or go away, or they don't see what he's doing, and they're just driving you crazy. Well, that's a thorn. And not only Paul is he saying that he has a thorn, he says this thorn came from the devil. He says it's a messenger from Satan. It's a satanic poke or a puncture or a feeling that he was experiencing in his life, and get this, that was allowed by God. It was a satanic thorn that was allowed by God. Because the devil can't do anything to you that God doesn't allow. And when God has a spiritual purpose that he wants to do in your life, he can use the devil to accomplish that in your life. He will even allow the devil to do it in order to fulfill the purpose that he has to want to be accomplished in your life. So don't make God so small that you think that the devil gets to make the decisions on the way your life's going. Anything that happens to you has to pass through God's fingers first before it gets to you. If you don't believe me, look at the book of Job. The only reason Job went through his trials and tribulations is because the Bible says, and God allowed the devil to do it. And so Paul, he's got a thorn, and it's ticking him off. It's just driving him crazy. A messenger from Satan. And he says God gave it to him. Why did God give it to him? He gave it to him for a couple of reasons. Number one, Paul says, because of the revelations. Look at verse 7. The revelations. That is, God gave him a thorn because of God's plan to use Paul. Number one, he says, because of revelations in verse 7, that God wanted to use him. God's plan to use him. God let Satan irritate Paul because God would get better use of him after the irritation than without the thorn in him. So you have that reason. So now let's flip the coin on the other side. Because he says the other reason in verse 7, that God has given me this thorn is so that I don't get the big head. Now you have to understand here what Paul had went through. Paul had had some unique opportunities that a lot of Christians have never had. He got to see Jesus on the Damascus Road. He got to spend time with Jesus in the Arabian Desert. He was the only one, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he's the only person in history who got to go to heaven, got to see what heaven is like, and was able to come back and talk about it. That's a pretty unique experience, a revelation. So because of the revelation, so because of the anointing, because of God's purpose and usefulness for Paul, God says, I've got to give you a thorn. Notice what he says in verse 7. He says, to keep me from exalting myself. So one reason God gives you thorns is to keep you humble. Keep me humble. Because it's easy to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. It's easy for me to do that. It's easy for you to do that as well. So to make you remember that you're still human, to make you remember that there is only one God and you and I are not He, to make you forget that you are dependent on God and not independent, God allows thorns into your life and my life so that both you and I can't fix it. Doesn't that frustrate you when you can't fix it? I mean, we got all kinds of fix-it solutions nowadays. Medication, prescriptions for everything. But sometimes we just can't fix it. So after reading this, what does the grace among thorns come into play at and the power that it provides? Where does that come to play in at? It's because you only know how powerful a medicine is when you're desperate and desperately need to have it to get better. In other words, extra strength Tylenol doesn't mean a thing until you need extra strength to get rid of that headache. I mean, you can take extra strength Tylenol while you're feeling fine. It doesn't mean a thing to you. But when you got a headache that's throbbing and pounding in that vein, that's when you need extra strength Tylenol. Because you need power to address a problem that you're having. And so what God does is he allows these, what he calls weaknesses, through the thorns. And though it's even, and though it's caused by the devil, he allows it in order for you and I to see what extra strength God feels like. God allows those weaknesses in our life to give you a greater experience so that you and I can experience the grace that he has for us. So if you're seeking to live for the Lord and there's something that just won't go away, then you're a perfect candidate for God's grace to be unleashed on you, to be unleashed in you, to be unleashed to you, to be unleashed upon you. Notice what he says in verse 9. He says, "My grace is sufficient." The word sufficient means adequate for every scenario. Sufficient. A couple of chapters back in 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 8. This is one of the greatest verses on grace in the Bible. It says, "And my God is able to make all grace abound on you, so that you, having all sufficiency in everything, that you may have an abundance of it for every good work." He says that there is so much grace out there that I've got for you that you can't come up with a situation that it can't address. So it doesn't matter what your thorn is that you have, or what your irritation that you're experiencing, there is more than enough grace, more enough grace among the thorns in your life for it to handle. Just like there's more than enough water in the ocean and the seas for every fish that has ever existed. Doesn't matter how many generations of fish there have been, there's more than enough water to handle it for them. There's more than enough foliage in the forests to handle all the generations of animals and birds and reptiles and insects that have ever existed. Because while they are dying, new leaves are sprouting up. New leaves are growing, and trees and plants are budding. In other words, God keeps the foliage coming so that generationally there's more than enough. There's more than enough oxygen for all the human beings over the thousands and thousands and thousands of years that have ever lived, that we haven't outbreathed the amount of oxygen available for the human race. And while we are dying, people are still breathing because there's more than enough oxygen to go around. Even with us breathing out carbon dioxide in this room today, even with cows, along with their flatulence, like a report 1 year back said that it's decreasing the ozone layer, it hasn't eroded the oxygen for future generations, and they don't have to worry about not having enough oxygen to breathe here on this planet, because there's more than enough for generation after generation after generation. And so what water is to fish, and what the foliage is to animals, and what oxygen is to the human race, grace is to the believer. And there's more than enough abounding grace, and it's overabundant, and it's sufficient for our lives. And there's never a shortage of it. Someone may ask, well, wait a minute. How come I'm not experiencing this grace with my thorn in my life? Well, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, and not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure in your life." He's saying the salvation that's working on the inside of us is cooperating with what's going on the outside of us and our circumstances. So that what's happening inside of you is working out there in your circumstances that we face every day. Look at it this way. If you have multiple thorns, or if you have multiple challenges in your life, then God has power strips for that. Power strips. So that he can handle each one of those things in our life by grace. Why? Because he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, our passage today, verse 9, my grace is sufficient, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Guess what grace has? It has power. It has power strips. Divine provision that comes with the grace that you and I receive. So you may say, well, I got this problem. So when you say that in yourself, you say to your spirit, well, I've got this outlet now. So then you might say, well, I have three problems. So which you respond back and say, well, I've got a three-problem power strip, one for each one of those problems. There are power strips in grace. And he used the word power twice in one verse, according to which translation you have. But he's talking about the sufficiency that we receive in grace, of grace. And he says, there is power and there's divine provision for our lives that come with that grace. So how do you know you're getting this grace? I mean, all this sounds good, but how do you get there to get this grace? You know you're getting and experiencing grace when you're being strengthened in the midst of your thorns. Receive that power, the right kind of power, because he allows the thorns to give you the need for grace. He allows the thorns to give you the need for grace. And you know that grace is working in your life when he begins strengthening you. Even though that thorn may still be there, he's strengthening you. Because in our text, Paul's thorn hasn't disappeared yet. He's still got his thorn, but he's getting power. And God gives you and I this fresh strength to handle those circumstances that we're in, those negative circumstances that you may be dealing with. And that's why I love Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 31. You can flip over there if you want. Isaiah chapter 40, 29 through 31, well-known passage of Scripture. It says that he gives new strength to the weak. He gives new strength in three ways, matter of fact, in that passage. One way, the verse says that he takes you out of the situation. That's the one we like. Get me out of this situation. I don't have to deal with it. I don't have to face with it. That's one way. But then he says a second way. He says that you will run and not get weary. The second way is he gives us the strength we need so that you run. You're still dealing with what you're facing, but he gives you a second wind in doing that. You know what a second wind is. You're running and you get tired and all of a sudden you don't know what it is, but something kicks in. Something that keeps you going when you thought that you couldn't make it anymore. If you have grandchildren or children, you know what this is about. You know about bedtime. Kids a lot of times will get the second wind. And they'll have a burst of power. They'll have a lot of energy. Well, it's the same way in this passage of Isaiah. You know you're experiencing grace when God gives you a second wind. You're about to quit. You're about to give up. You're about to throw in the towel. And all of a sudden, boom, you get a bunch of energy in you and you get energized. You get energized about what you're going through and you feel better about that. To something that you were going to throw the towel in or quit in. And then the third reason he gives us new strength, he says the third reason in the passages of Isaiah 40 is that you walk and that you don't faint. The third reason is that nothing changes, but rather he changes you. You're too tired to run, you can't walk. He says, but you walk and you don't faint. Interesting. Luke chapter 22 reads of a time when Jesus was on the Mount of Olives. And it was the night of his calling and purpose. It was all about to meet their climax when the sins of the world were about to be laid on our Jesus Christ. And as he was praying, the Bible says an angel appeared to him and strengthened him. Luke 22:43. Jesus didn't faint from his calling, but he found strength from the Father to accomplish what he was sent to do. Because there's an amazing grace, the song we all love to sing, which was purchased through the blood of Christ and it's promised to the children of God for those who trust in Him and have asked Him into life. So, walk and not faint. Waiting for God isn't laziness. Waiting for God isn't going to sleep. Waiting for God isn't the abandonment of the effort that you're doing. But thirdly, the ability to do nothing. The ability to do nothing until the command is given. He says, this grace gives me new strength. So that you know that you're getting new strength, or you know that you're getting grace in your life when God's power is operating in you. Take a look at verse 10 in 2 Corinthians 12. He says, therefore, I am well content. That means you get new strength while you're waiting. That's the power of grace working, that you're experiencing God's grace. You're at ease where you are. Until you get to the point where God wants you to be. To be content. To be at rest. To be at ease. May not be what you prefer. But you're okay. You're not panicking. You're not fretting. You don't feel like you're going to lose your mind. You're at ease. So now the question is, once you understand this grace is for you and can be given to you abundantly and sufficiently, how do you get this grace activated in your life? Now remember, the grace has already been provided. You can't earn it, can't buy it, can't work for it. But what you can do is access it. Look at back at verse 8 in our passage. Concerning this, I implore. To implore means that this is a serious prayer. This isn't just one of those thank you God for the food prayers. If this isn't something light, this is like begging God, please, please. Has anybody ever got to that point in their life where you're begging God? Even dropping on your knees by the side of your bed, begging God, please. This is a serious prayer. In other words, this thing is deep. This thing hurts. And to implore of God means to say to God, God, can you do something? Something. And Paul says, I implored of the Lord three times. Three times. In the Bible uses numbers at times to teach theology. So you'll see a lot of numbers throughout the Bible in order to make a spiritual point that God wants us to understand. The most famous number in the Bible is number 7. Number 7 means complete. So that when God talks about number 7, He's bringing something to completion. For example, you read about the 7 judgments. You read about the 7 churches in the book of Revelation. You read about the 7 bowls. You read about the 7 vials. It's all over. The 7s are all over the place, showing that God is bringing something to completion. So the Bible uses numerology and numbers at times to teach theology. So let's look at the number 3. The number 3 is like the number of 7, but with a little subtle difference in the meaning. The number 3 means fullness, represents fullness. It involves a beginning, a middle, and an end. So that's where you start, the beginning, in the middle of where you are, the middle, and then what the fullness of it is at the end. For example, Jesus died on Friday. Then on Saturday, while Jesus' body was still in the grave, He went and preached in hell. And He brought the saints to heaven. He brought a host of captives with Him. And then on Sunday, He rose from the dead. So when they describe Jesus, they talk about 3 days and 3 nights. When they talk about Jonah being in the belly of a whale, 3 days and 3 nights. When they talk about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, Jesus quoted Scripture 3 times before Satan finally left Him. So you find this concept of 3 regularly throughout the Scripture in order to speak about God's fullness. And so when Paul prayed 3 times, that is, he prayed until there was fullness. So now that raises the question for you and me. How do I know when I get this fullness in my life that I'm not at the beginning or the middle? But how do I get this fullness at the end in my life of the three times? How do I know when I've hit that third time in the terms of the theology of three? Because I need this help. I need what I'm going through. I need it now. Well, actually, the word tells you. Look at what he says in verse 8. Concerning this, I prayed three times that it might leave me. Verse 9, and he said to me, there it is. There's your answer right there. You've hit fullness when you hear God's voice. Let me say that again. You've hit fullness when you hear God's voice. And so you might ask, well, how do I hear God's voice? I'll never forget, I was sitting at the kitchen table many years back. Cindy Dilley asked me that same question. How do you know when God's talking to you? How do you hear God's voice? And you hear His voice in a number of ways. Sometimes you may be in church and it looks like this sermon was exactly for you. And the thing that you're dealing with, you just heard His voice. Or you may have another believer come up to you and speak into your life prophetically. And when they speak into your life prophetically, it was just the word that you needed to hear from God. You just heard His voice. You can hear God's voice when you're reading the Bible. And the Holy Spirit just lets a verse just jump out of that thing to you. And you know that verse was just what you needed to have at that moment. You just heard His voice. You can hear His voice while listening songs on the radio or hearing the praise team sing as we worship God. And God just makes this song come alive in your spirit. And it speaks into your life. You just heard God's voice. The problem for most people is that they're not listening for it. And so they don't hear it. Paul implored of God. Paul had such a relationship with God that he could tune in to God's voice. Where it read in our passage, and he said, God was talking. And when he heard God. You see, the many times that God is talking and He's really speaking to our thorn, but we're not tuned in to hear it. God did something else in Paul's circumstance. Look at the last part of verse 9. He said, most gladly, and you're not going to like this part, but most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ might dwell in me. What am I supposed to be bragging about? That doesn't make sense. I'm hurting. I'm depressed. I got a thorn in me. I got thorns all around me. I got debt overshadowing me. Well, that don't make sense. Well, please notice what he says. Paul says, I boast about my weaknesses, and then I have more power. How did he get more power? Because Paul began to look at what was wrong spiritually rather than circumstantially around him. That's why the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. And what that means is, don't act like there's nothing wrong. Because Paul implored of the Lord to get rid of what was wrong in his life. So you're not ignoring what is wrong when you do that. But because you want more power. It's because you want more juice from God. That's why the church should never lie to you and tell you that God's going to fix it for you. Because that's not true. That's illustrated here in our text today. God told him, he says, I'm not going to fix it right now for you. But God says, I'm going to do one better for you. I'm going to give you some grace. And with grace, he says, you get more power. With grace, he says, you get more power in your weakness. But God's not going to impose his grace on people that don't want it. You say, God, I want out of this situation. I don't want more grace. Whoop-de-doo. I want out of this situation. even though God's grace may still shine upon us, even when we're not seeking it a lot of times, it's in our difficult times that we have to remember that our thorns are from Satan, and it's a way of distracting us and getting us off track from our faith in the Father. Satan will try to tempt us in one of two ways. He'll try to defeat us through our thorns by depressing us so much. Or two, he'll try to get us to become thorns in someone else's side. And so God's grace in relation to the thorn, it works in two ways as well. It'll either give us new strength to endure our thorns, or in times of our temptation when the devil comes and wants us to be thorns in the side of others, he gives us new grace and new strength to fight off that temptation and to do what is right. So in other words, give someone else grace. When was the last time you gave someone some grace? You really wanted to unload on them. They deserved it. But when did you give them grace? It's in those moments that we need to open ourselves to God's grace and just to be able to let it flow over us like an elixir to soothe us, to soften us. The challenge for us is that we usually try to meet our thorns with anger. And in the Word, anger closes the heart to God's grace. You're not going to see God's grace while you're angry. So that's a deterrent from receiving the power. We can't experience God's grace when we're seething with anger, full of anger. So in the moments when our thorns feel the sharpest in our life, that's when we need to strive to make our hearts the softest in us, so that God's grace can be sufficient for us to be able to help us endure our weakest moments, so that he can flow over us and in us and through us, taking away the sting of the thorn and infusing us with a measure of his power. And so that's why we develop a life of prayer, so that in having a strong relationship with Christ, it's able to give us sustenance. And our hearts will be trained in doing that to first go to him in our times of stress and sorrow, whenever those thorns get sharp in our lives. And then in return, God pours his grace upon us. God's power, God's grace is able to then shine out of our weaknesses. Because Christ's power shines the brightest when we're weak. And through it all, we're able to discover grace among thorns. So that those who don't know God, so that those who have strayed away from the faith, so that those who feel like they've been outcast, are able to see the face of Christ in us, who gives us the power that we need to shine brightest as a testimony of our faith in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are and what you do in our lives. We thank you for the grace that you so sufficiently give us in times of our need. Help us to understand that, Father, that your grace is the elixir we need. All we may feel now is the pain. All we may now see is the darkness of what the thorn is causing us. But let us rejoice in you. Let us seek you until we hear you in our life. Give us a word to our thorn so that we can feel the fullness of what you're doing in it. We may have to wait. And if that's so, help us rest. Give us the patience to rest and be at peace with it and at ease, knowing that grace is pouring all over us while that's happening. Help us to understand your grace, Father. Not that it's just a biblical term or in your word or something that we receive and appreciate and love, but help us to really understand what your grace is all about. Help us to understand what it means. Help us to experience it in our life, even if we have to endure a thorn, in order to finally get it and what it's all about. Help us to break down traditional barriers that have caused us from seeing this grace because of us being raised or taught to do the right thing in order to get your approval. Help us to break those barriers down. Holy Spirit, come. Empower us. Flow through us. Give us the wind that we need. The wind beneath our wings. To run and not grow weary. To walk and not be fainting. But to stand strong in you. Break down anything in our lives that we've created as a comfort barrier that we hold on to, knowing that we've been taught by man that says, God will like this if you do this. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to hear your voice and speak to us in a way that we can grasp onto that and know that you've given us your grace among the thorns that we have in our life. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Please stand and we'll close in singing and rejoicing to our Lord this morning. Let God's grace cover you so that you can shine in a dark world amongst your thorns. May His face shine upon you and may He be with you this week. Amen. God bless you all.